Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's Harry.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is my distinct and honored privilege to be able to come to you on our Friday Fellowship of Learners. So enjoy the ministry of music while we get our minds and our hearts set on our Savior so that we may receive what heaven has for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We do thank God for his great grace and his mercy. And it's important that we understand as the psalmist was singing, you know, and it says, I've fallen so far. I've fallen on my face. So often we feel, well, that really doesn't pertain to me because, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. You know, I serve the Lord. I love the Lord. You know, I do what the Lord would have me to do. We're going into a season now where God wants us to see beyond what we see. And so as a result, there is a place that we may think that we have obtained to that is only a small step in the direction in which he has for us, in the journey in which he has for us. And so that's one of the reasons I believe I was drawn to this book. It was a suggestion by one of you, which is wonderful. Thank you, Evangelist Narvella. And it was a topic that most Christians, seasoned Christians, feel, oh, well, you know, I don't really need to study that book. I know who he is. I'm not a novice in Christ. You know, I am aware of who he is, and I love the Lord, and we know the names of God, and, you know, we know so much about God. We know a lot about him. We've read the scriptures. We've been impressed and impressed by him. He has his footprint on us. He has gotten our attention, and we are pursuing him. But one of the things that I think we're going to find in this book is this pursuit should not lighten up, nor should it cease being satisfied where it is, but understanding more and more what Scripture means when it says things like from grace to grace to grace. From glory to glory to glory. And things that we've said, we know, we've preached it, we've taught it, we've sung it, but there is so much more depth to it that God wants to reveal to us the secrets of these things that he only shares intimately with those who are in intimate relationship with him. And so one of the author is putting forth is the fact that you may know about God. You may know all the facts and figures. You may know all the scriptures and the names. But do you know him? Are you in a place, and we'll say, yes, I am. You know, I do know him personally. Then that is only an invitation to know more. And one of the words for those in this soil as we labor in is come up hither. So there's always a higher place that God wants to bring us to in the knowledge of him. There are so many aspects of God that we either take for granted or we have made them common or we just haven't skimmed over the surface. You know, when it says things like you'll know him if he speaks through his creation. And we know that he does. And, you know, when we stop and think about it, you know, we realize that he does reveal himself to us in nature and in scripture. But a lot of times we don't go and on a daily basis in depth with this kind of revelation that's in nature or even actually that's in scripture as well. And so this is an invitation. This book is an invitation to go deeper, to first make sure you're in the right place and you're on the right path and you have received the invitation and that you are hungry for more. That's why he says, those that hunger and thirst after me shall be filled. But it is a filling, not you're filled and you're done. It is a continuous filling. It's more and, you know, filling up. It's more and more and more. It's glory to glory to glory. And so we have to have a heart that is seeking him. And when we look at the different aspects of our heart, and one of the things is a heart that seeks the glory of God. That's an active, intentional, daily pursuit that we have of God, wanting and hungering as a deer panteth for the water, hungering for the more and more of him. One of the things in a song, Holy Water, and it shares the fact that I don't want to, y'all may have to help me. I don't want to, you know, offend your grace because I need it every day. I think it's offend your grace, but whatever. That's the gist of it. You know, I don't want to use it without realizing.
I don't want to abuse your grace. Lord, I need it every day. It's the only thing that makes me want to change.
Hallelujah. And that's it. That abusing, we have abused in so many ways the grace of God because we have not allowed it to open our spirits to the new things that God is doing, to the daily moment-by-moment things that God is doing and sending our way because we feel, I know that, knowing the God that I worship, I know the God that I worship. And yet there's so much knowledge about God that it's going to take us an eternity to know, truly to know it. And one of the lessons that David Jeremiah, and you can hear him teaching this book, actually, different parts. I know it's at least 9 parts to his teaching. And that's on YouTube that you can actually listen to. And so one of the things that he shares is the vastness of God. And so our minds just can't comprehend the vastness of God. But he gives us glimpses. He gives us visions of some of the things that we need to use to see him. And as the author was sharing about the sun that God has created, the sun in the sky, and how vast it is. There's a million earths could fit in the space of the sun, and that it's like 28 million degrees. That's how hot the core of the sun is. And yet, it is a small, medium star. And all the energy that it has comes from God. And there are thousands of universes. We do not have the capacity to understand the vastness of God. And one of the amazing things for me is in this vastness, in the very scope of the sun, there are many planets, if you will, that are around it. If you're in one position, it'll burn you up. If you're in another outlying position, you'll freeze and no life will come from that. But we are positioned absolutely perfectly so that, 1,000 miles, 100,000 miles, whatever, because my space is so vast, we would miss it and we would be a cold, dead planet. But he positioned us at the right spot so as not to burn us up, and yet to still release from the energy of the sun. I think it says the energy of the sun is like, a million atom bombs going off constantly. This energy is an amazing thing, and this energy and this power has its source in God. So it's a small thing. And so, yes, that power and that energy, it reaches planet Earth at the perfect spot and time and space so as to create life. And that's not accidental. That is extremely intentional when you understand the vastness of things and or just kind of get a tiny glimpse of what this is looking like. And even some of the things that, you know, people study with astronomy and they're looking through telescopes and seeing hundreds of thousands of miles away. And that's not even a drop in the bucket when we're looking at what God has done, what he has created. All of these worlds, and scriptures even says worlds without end. Worlds and worlds, so many worlds, we cannot conceive of all the things that God has done. And the fact that in this doing, he also did us. Not only did he create us, he desires us to be with him. He desires us to enjoy what he has created. He has created what he has so that we would find joy in it and pleasure in it and nourishment from it and stimulation with it and purpose in it. So these, the plans and the thoughts of God, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. God knows them. We don't, we can't even begin to, you know, I know he wants me to prosper and be of good health. Those two items, if we were to spend a month on prosper and prosperity, what does it mean in scripture? What does it look like? Months and months, maybe more than a month, we would come up with such a clearer picture, a more defined picture of what prosperity is. And that would change our thoughts and our perspective about the things that happen in our life. So knowing God, knowing the God of creation, knowing the God that you may not know, can change your life. And our lives were changed when we first knew, when we first came to believe. It definitely changed. And yet, it is to be transformed even the more. And so in this book of The God You May Not Know by David Jeremiah, there are 12 chapters. And these chapters are going to look at different aspects of God that we need to go deeper in, knowing the God that you worship, knowing a holy God, knowing a faithful God, knowing an eternal God, knowing a changeless God, knowing a powerful God, knowing a good God, knowing an all-knowing God, knowing a sovereign God, knowing an ever-present God, knowing a loving God, and knowing God by name. And so there are so many aspects of him that he is revealing to us because he's prepared us through the works and the studies that we've done in the various books in the past, and we have continued to search and to run after him. And he says, if you seek, you will find. And so we're finding ourselves in a place to get a greater and more intimate understanding of those things concerning the studying of God. He reveals himself in scripture. It is a study that takes a lifetime. It lifts your thoughts. It steadies your nerves, purifies your motives, expands your confidence, and it strengthens your influence. It is the greatest subject we could ever truly study, for God is the apex of all reality. He is as high as you can go. and everything else, all other reality, comes from him. I love it that the author points out a lot of scriptures, and one of the scriptures as it relates to knowing is the Psalms 37:3, which is trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. What does it mean to feed on his faithfulness? It means to feed on his goodness, on his mercy, on his power, on his presence, on his promises, on his love, and on all his endless and infinite attributes and qualities. It means to feed on Jesus, the bread of life. And he said that my man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. So is it not so? Because this is true, we need to understand the words that come. We first need to know them, and then we need to understand them. So we have that knowledge and that understanding. Then we have to have the wisdom of when and how to apply them. And then we need the strength in which to do it in a world that is not going to embrace what we're doing. And then we need the counsel from him in order to be able to feed on what he is giving. He has to tell us what goes first, what comes second, how to do this. All of these things, this counsel. And these are all of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And so in order to know him, we have to know, embrace, obey as a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking at a journey that if we don't continue to admit or understand if we come to this thinking, I know this, you know, this is fundamental, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the place that he wants to take us to. We're going to miss the higher. And when we miss the higher, then these other things that should be developed will not be developed properly. So our nerves, it won't be steady. Our motives won't be purified. Our confidence won't expand. And our influence will not be strengthened based on truth and power and knowledge of God, who is the source of all these things. Questions, comments, insights, anybody that picked the book up, looked through the book, what were your thoughts? We definitely want to be interactive, class. This is something that is personalized. And so it really will be necessary to be interactive. So what are your thoughts? Okay, we have silence on the line. Okay, so we will just proceed. Thank God.
Overseer?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I went to talk and my phone hung up, so I had to dial back. But I haven't gotten the book, but I was watching a lot of the YouTubes from it. And from that, when they were talking about the galaxy and the sun and all that, and you kind of spoke on a lot of that, it was just another way to the God that we don't know, you know, and the things that we don't even grasp to, you know, it reminded me of Genesis and the creation and everything he made. But when you look at the sun and the galaxy and the, you know, the stars and all that, you really
get when you visualizing what he's doing and what he has done and getting to know him in a, even a more excellent way. And it was just, it's been powerful. I can't wait to, you know, go out today and my son take me to get the book because it has really, I'm interested. And I thank Missionary Narvella for bringing it to, you know, you all agreeing on this one because it, you know, you think it's going to be a simple one, but it's deep. It's profound. And so I'm excited about going forth in this book and learning more about the God we don't know.
Amen. Amen. Very good insight. Thank you for sharing that. And truly, it is going to be quite a journey, and it's going to be personalized based on what you put in. You're not going to get everything you need from coming on Friday. You're really going to have to put time in this relationship building. We're building a deeper, a stronger relationship. Yes, we're married to Christ when we came to know him and profess him as our Savior. And so now, just like even with any marriage, now we get to know each other. There's an intimate knowing that's supposed to take place after you get married. And in that daily, you're learning about a person, and that that closeness, like as it is exampled in marriage, which is why marriage is so important to God, because it is a part of the framework for our covenant with Him. It requires time, it requires effort and work, and continuous communication, and that's true for marriage. And Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing, that continuous communication, because no less than that is what is needed. And it's worth it, because the minute you stop doing any of those things as your priority, intentional, every day, then it, you get to be what the author terms, which I really love it, as trained Christians. People who have learned to do the things that are expected outwardly, but while maintaining those outward traditions, we may have God starved inwardly. This even happens to the Christians in Ephesians. And we talked about that. We looked about at that church, and Christ says, you did a lot. You did good things. There's a report about you that's wonderful. But he had one thing that was against them, and he needed them to know that. You drifted from your first love, and that's Revelation 2 and 4. And so this is that trained Christian. You do the right thing. You know what you're supposed to do. And that's that not, that's you know about God. But knowing God means then I've gone beyond that, you know, into just according, or I'm so glad I know you, to I'm making covenant with you in relation to you, and I'm your bride. And as your bride, I need to know everything. I hunger for every truth about you, but not to know it so that I can articulate it to other people, but so that it builds me up inside and my love for you. And I believe any a married couple can share the fact that that's what happens. That's what happens when you come to know a person. It's work. It's effort. And it's not that, you know, being a Christian and being a part of an intimate relationship with God is a lot of work. But what it is, it takes commitment. We do have to study. We do have to search the Scripture. We do have to make a point in making him priority one, our priority one. He shares some scriptures with us in, 2 Peter. He says, 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So this grace, unmerited favor, this this grace that follows us, is with us. This grace is needed. His grace makes things sufficient. This is what we're talking about, this peace. And it's only multiplied to you. That's that abundance. You have it in the beginning, but it multiplies. It gets more and more and more. That's glory to glory to glory. This grace and this peace will multiply to you, but only when you in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God, receiving the knowledge that God reveals to us as we come up hither, as we go higher, as we seek him more diligently than we've ever done before, as he becomes our the sun in our sky. And he shares the fact that without him, our lives are incomplete. It's like a sky with no sun. And I don't even know if we can imagine a sky without a sun, without a sun rising, bringing light and warmth and those things that are necessary for nourishment and of our bodies, our minds, and our environment. And so we have to understand that this increase must come. One of the other scriptures that he shares is in 2 Peter 1 and 3. It says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and holiness through the knowledge of him who calls us. So here we have, I won't say a predicament, but because if you ask somebody, can you live a holy life, what would your answer be? And you take everybody off, speaker off, I mean, your phone off mute, and just speak what your answer would be. Can you live a life without sin? Hello? Say yes or no.
Oh, no, I cannot live a life without him. And I wouldn't even try.
And obviously, are you saying without him or without sin?
Without sin. S-I-N.
Oh, sin. I'm sorry.
I say yes, we can. We have the ability now. Okay. That's a loaded answer, but I'd say yes.
Yeah, I know loaded. Yeah, I loaded the answer because I want us to see what this scripture is saying to us. It says we have all things. He has made all things pertaining to life and holiness. Now, we have to understand what is life and what is holiness. These are words that we so often take for granted without looking in depth to them. What is life? It's more than just breath. It's more than just breathing. But everything pertaining to life and godliness. And it comes through the knowledge of him. Again, we have to come to know him in ways we've never known him before. And as we increase in this knowledge, and he says he told us to add to our virtue knowledge and to knowledge self-control. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And so we talked about fruit, bearing fruit and non-bearing fruit and what happens. But now we see this is part of the process that we need to embrace, because it says we have to add to this virtue knowledge and to knowledge self-control. And it says, if these things are yours and abound, so now they're ours when we embrace them, when we embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we do the studying and we do the laboring and the effort to build the relationship or to honor the commitment that God has made to us in this covenant relationship. And when we do that and when we abound in it, it means we're doing more and more and more. We're more what do you say? We're more in now than we were 5 years ago. We really are. We're more convinced and committed in this relationship with God because we realize how much more it really embraces our life and how much more he really wants it to be, how much more we can see it transforming our life. So we want it. We want it, and then by that, then he says, for these things are yours, you won't be barren. And then Paul says, he tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We are encouraged to grow, to get this grace and this knowledge of our Lord. And the way you do that, it's like in a marriage. You grow in your relationship by the work and the effort and the communication, getting to become involved more personally, more intimately, and more deeply with the individual. So it has to be a priority. I love it when the elder says it's a loaded question. Elder, why do you think it's a loaded question? Elder? Okay. I mean, I think that what we often think is a loaded question only because it's a conflict. It's a crisis of belief. Because we can say no. But then that's a crisis with what God said, yeah, I gave it to you. Yes, you can. This can be and is a part of what you possess now. You know, this is a part of that inheritance we have. And so often it's a part of the inheritance we have that we don't use. We don't use because we don't have the knowledge. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit gives us that knowledge and that understanding and that wisdom and that counsel of how to walk with the Spirit of the Lord in us. And those are the things that we learn in the God the Holy Spirit book. The vine, secrets of the vine. These are things that we learn, and now we're seeing how they mesh with the scriptures and the knowledge, and how knowing that makes the words that we read now have more meaning, more depth, and and more value because we understand them better now. So we don't have to be barren nor unfruitful if we gain in the knowledge of Christ. We're not going to gain in the knowledge of Christ by listening to a sermon. It takes more than that. It takes more than that. It takes a commitment that prioritizes with God is first, and that's it. The psalmist says in Psalms 27 and 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that's our Lord, I will that you make me willing, that I will seek that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that's sharing with us the beauty of the Lord. It is in the house of the Lord, but it is in the world that God has created. And to seek that beauty, to behold that beauty, for our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so we can see the beauty of this whole plan that the Lord has for us, bit by bit by bit, the whole plan and how this plan will unfold, you know, as we dwell in his house all the days of our life, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but all the days of our life, you know, that the church is in us, and everything that Christ did is a part of our first priority, and that's what we desire. And because that is our desire, we'll spend all our money, our time, our effort, our energy, you know, our thoughts on that, on bringing that to its ultimate priority, which is God and the one thing that stands at the head of my life. One of the scriptures, deliver me from secret faults and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me. Then I will be free from the evil. And then the words of my mouth and with the words of my mouth and the of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And that's the goal that we're obtaining to. You know, it says, press towards your mark, the prize of the high calling. That's that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, what my heart thinks about, what my heart longs for, will be pleasing in your sight. My heart longs to seek the glory of God, and that will be pleasing to God. My heart longs to love and to forgive and to accept, and those things will bring us to a place of the knowledge of God, understanding what God wants for man, the crisis of Christ in the crisis, the things that are desired and needed for man to function out of chaos and out of darkness are all things pertaining to Christ. And those are the things that we have to grow in knowledge of. We're doing for Christmas the calendar. We have the Advent calendar that focuses on Jesus Christ. That's our lifeline to life, is Jesus Christ and everything concerning him. So every detail of his life or mention of his life, we need to be able to embrace, not just know and recite, but to embrace and to understand why it was presented to us, why it what it was revealing to us about the nature and the person and attributes of a living God and a loving God, what love looks like. And we are often, our love doesn't look like the love that Christ had for us. But this is the prize and the mark that we're pressing toward, so we can have that look, that love that looks upon man, and that's the Christ in the crisis, so that there's no prejudice, there's no injustice, there's no oppression, there is no silence where the truth is not the truth is not defended or presented. That's not the way of Christ. So when we learn all the details of Christ's life and what the Word says about his life, how he overcome Satan, and we know because he was on the mountain and they told us exactly what to do when we are tempted by the devil, and he gave specific scripture based on the different areas of temptation that would come to us, you know, to have fame and money and fortune, to have power, to have all those things that belong to God, to have these blessings, you know, do this and I'll make you this and I'll make you that, and you can have the desires of your heart even though you don't have the love of Christ in them. And that is not the way to to overcome the influence of the evil one. But the way is to give them the word of God, not give them an excuse or our knowledge of the word, but just give them the word, and the word itself will bring about that which God requires it to do, because it won't come back void. And that's how you make your enemies scatter. That's how you resist the devil. And so often you don't resist the devil with your will, you know, I'm going to, you know, put forth my best effort and all that. Just like I think Minister Pat shared, that's not going to work. The only thing that's going to work is the word of God, and not even so much as saying it, but understanding the precept behind it, which you get from the Holy Spirit. He will give you that understanding. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge him? By giving him priority one, by cleansing your heart of evil thoughts, secret thoughts, hidden agendas, about searching your heart, guarding your heart. We studied that. These are all things that are not being put in play in an environment of or in an altitude that is higher than where we've ever been before. And so when we do these things, then we increase our peace, we increase our grace, the grace that is upon our life. We are multiplied in this thing, and that's what our life will look like. Our life will look, that's just how our life looks. It won't be barren. It won't be unfruitful. It won't have little scrawny fruit, but it'll have full blooming, blossoming fruit that makes the vine dresser receive the glory that he should. He said, you know, make my name glorious. Make the praise you have for me, make it glorious. It becomes glorious when it is infused with your knowledge of, intimate knowledge of me. And so it looks this way wherever you are, whenever you are. One of the songwriters says that when the crowd leaves, that's when he lives the life that he sings about. So when the crowd is not there, that's when you continue to praise the God that you're living for. We're learning to embrace the threefold nature of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We're learning to understand. We jumped at the love that God had for us. We needed it. We could not exist without it. We were destitute for it. So we embraced that love that God had for us. And when Jesus came to bring the salvation, to bring us back into relationship with God, we definitely said yes, yes to the Lord. Now, Holy Spirit wants us to become one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We become one, and then we look like him. Then we are bearing fruit. Then we are abiding in the branch that's abiding in the vine. Then we have absolute surrender. You know, then we have that grip of grace that is upon our life that changes our thinking process. We can't think the way we used to anymore. When you hear or see a person think that way, it looks like such foolishness. It looks like such a empty waste. It's because we have been, our thinking has been transformed by the truth that we have sought out from the truth, the light, and the way. And that's the life of Jesus Christ. And so we're learning the reading this Christmas time, and even, like I say, we're doing the Advent, which gives us details of everything concerning Christ that's in the Bible, situations and circumstances. And we look at those things as we anticipate his coming and celebrate the first coming. And then we're doing the Christmas for laborers, where each day what you're reading is something about Christ must be first. So Christ must, not Christmas, but Christ must. And as we see that, we understand that, okay, today Christ must be what I look like. Today Christ must be what I project to people. Today Christ must be the source of my love and the release of my flesh to God, so that I am the living sacrifice. Christ must be the center of my life. And so this is that putting him priority one. And inquire, I love the inquiring in his temple, is going before the Lord, communicating to him. That's that communication that builds that bond in this covenant that we have with him. And then knowing what the covenant is and how he views covenant, know what covenant means. And the fact that the blood of Jesus released the promise of the covenant into our life. When he shed his blood, when we take communion, that is a reminder that every covenant promise has been empowered to you. It is yours now. That blood releases the power. It unlocks those promises. And we live on those promises. We live by those promises. We study the promises of God, and we realize in them we feed on his faithfulness to make those promises come to pass, because all of his promises will. And that's part of his covenant commitment. That's what he has committed to us, these promises, these powerful powerful promises, which cause us to be able to stand in confidence. It causes us to be able to stand in power. It causes us to be able to stand sure of what we're standing on and for, and then being that in the world without fear, without timidness, with confidence. And so we have to get to a place, or we're getting to a place as we study this book, as he has committed himself to us, of knowing him deeper. We are not going to become trained Christians. We'll become brides. The difference between a maid and a bride. We're going to become the bride. We're going to be purified and transformed by knowing our Savior more and more. Every detail of his life. What color he likes. You know, what day of the week. I mean, you know how you know these things about the people that you care about. You know, when is birthday? When is this? And when is that? You learn these things. And you pride yourself in that knowledge because of the importance of that relationship to you. And that's the same way God wants us to be. And so as we go through this Advent season, as we come into a deeper appreciation of our Savior and the importance of him, not just in us, but in the world and in us so that the world can get him, we want to look at these scriptures, these, if you will, they call them Christmas scriptures or whatever you want to call them, but look at them differently. You know, look at a word, look it up and see, well, okay, ask Holy Spirit, okay, what is this word really communicating? What is it you want me to know when you say this silent night? What is silence? You know, is that when the flesh stops talking? It's silent. It is silent. And it's the night is silent. The darkness becomes silent because Christ was born. And he became the light and the voice for those in darkness. So just what things mean to a point where there's a list of things that I came across in every symbol of Christmas time, and I mean every hay, everything, every little thing, bulbs, lights, tinsel, all the things, you can relate them to something as relates to Jesus Christ. And so that's knowing him more. That's getting a more intimate knowledge of him through the things that we see, and we are able to recognize Christ did this, this, and this. And so it's a really interesting study. I hope to bring it periodically through this this time season. And maybe while I open the line for questions, comments, insights, thoughts, what thoughts did you have, what concerns, I open it, then I'm going to try to bring it up and give you an example of one of them. Okay. Let me take your phones off mute and talk to me.
Well, this is Evangelist Anita, and I just want to say I enjoyed what I heard. I'm here at work, so I snuck on the phone, but I enjoyed what I heard so far. And I want to order the book. So I got to go back on mute. God bless everyone on the line.
Oh, God bless you, darling. All right, all right. Anybody else? Praise the Lord for our new people that's joining us and old people coming back and those that have just been faithful and haven't gone anywhere. I sure do appreciate it. I do, I do, I do. Yeah.
And over this year, when you were stating, can we live without sin? Yes, we can. Do we always do it? No. But, you know, as we come more into his presence, he gives us wisdom and insight to do it, to be obedient to his word and to live in his word. And so I do thank God, you know, as the Israel, I was looking as he would speak on, you know, them repenting and then turning from sin. We ourselves can turn away from the sinful ways and turn to him and obey him and do what is right, no matter what others are doing. And no matter, we can't blame nobody but ourselves when we're in sin, but with God, we can live sinless.
Okay. Amen. Amen. And one of the things, when you were sharing that, Minister Pat, and you were saying that when we don't, what do we do? When we do sin, what do we do? And I think part of that song of, I don't want to abuse your grace.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Because I need it every day. And it's the only thing that makes me want to change. And so I believe that the fact that when we don't please our lover, and our lover doesn't count that against us, and we know what it's like in a regular relationship. Imagine what it's like with a relationship with the God of all glory, okay? And yet, he loves me anyway. And so that fact, not that, ooh, I disobeyed, I shouldn't. And he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So when we don't obey, we need to love more. That's the solution to disobedience, is to love more. And then the way of loving more, okay, is to making it him and knowledge of him our priority. Not knowledge of that sin or that commandment, but just knowledge of him, who he is. And so when we stop and think, Minister Pat, about that whole scenario about the universe and the sun and the, oh my God, the galaxies, all of that, when we think about it, we become awed by who he is. And then to realize that person loves me. And with all the vastness of all the universes, he knows everything about me, and he is concerned for me. And so that's like having this, well, obviously the most powerful person, the most powerful in all universes. That's why he's sovereign. He's over everything, and understanding and knowing the God that's sovereign. You know, then it brings this love and this humility about our actions and our thoughts. How dare I do that to him? And it's that love that will transform our behavior. It is that love that we develop and we, not prioritize, but that love that we are committed to, this love relationship, because we love him. His grace is the only, and his mercy, my God, is what makes me want to do better. Not because, okay, he don't like it when I do that. No, the fact that when I do that, he loves me the same, and he forgives me, and he sits me there as though nothing has happened. Now, that's a love. That's a love, though the price was paid. But that's a love. And because of that love, it makes me want to change. You know, I don't want to do that no more. Not to the person I love. No, 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 no. And that's the thing that makes us want to change, his grace. And we don't want to abuse it by doing it and say, oh, Lord, forgive me, and we keep going. You know, we say, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay. Okay, what's the deal?
Until they get a proper test, COVID test, from official COVID test, they will wear
Okay, well, I just, I appreciate that comment that sparked a conversation. Anybody else? Okay. Nobody. We got one. I'm going to try to get that for you. I just want to read one of them to you. But we are still, lines still open for anybody that may want to give comments. Okay. All right. We're going to do I would do fire because I love fire. But I'm going to do Christmas bows. Here we go. Colorful ribbons and bows remind us of the bond of perfection, which is love. They show us that all people are to be bound together in brotherhood and peace. Ribbons are part of the priestly garment which God revealed to Moses. Thus, they remind us that Jesus is the new high priest. When two Jewish spies to Jericho to to check out the city, Rahab hid them in her house. When they were leaving, they were given her a scarlet. They gave her a scarlet ribbon and asked her to tie it in her window so that the Israelites would spare her family when they came to take the city over. And Rahab did, her and her household. The scarlet ribbon is a symbol of God's sacrifice of himself, which saved us from eternal damnation. And so our prayer is, Lord, as I wrap and unwrap gifts this Christmas, let me remember that you have bound us all together in love through the sacrifice of Jesus, our high priest. You have brought redemption to the human race, and we are all brothers and sisters in you. And so it's those kinds of things that take every element of Christmas time. And see something of Christ in it. So when you look at the Christmas bows and ribbons, let it remind you of how Christ, that red, it would not be a red ribbon, but it was for Rahab. And it's what kept the enemy from destroying her. That's that red, the blood over the doorpost that kept the death angels from destroying the Israelites in Egypt, and just let everything that we do remind us of something that he has done, and that puts us in a whole different type of frame of mind, and that's what we're longing for now, remembering he's our new high priest, and the high priest had ribbon in their garment, and so when we see these things, we're just remembering Christ, and that's how Christ must be the priority of this time of year. Questions, comments? Okay. Did everyone get their book and do some reading? I'm sorry. There was two people. I'm so sorry that I didn't put on a speaker. So if you have a question or comment, you can do so now. Everybody is on speaker. That was my fault. I didn't have everybody on.
I was, when I was on mute, I just wanted, my phone kept dropping for some reason, but I wanted to basically state that I think when we started learning about the names of God, and I had never heard that from any ministry I was in, and when we started learning about the names of God, we got to learn a better relationship with him. And now even when I study, I'm learning how to even get to know him in a more excellent way and to study names of God that I never understood. And you know, the books that you all gave us the reference in, it has helped so much. So then we get to know him, too, in a better way. So that's all I was going to say.
Absolutely. We need to glean on all of the resources that we've been given. That's a part of the feasting at the table. Those are those were the those that is feasting on the faithfulness of God, the word, and the truth that has been revealed to us from His Word. And so I believe that this is a time where Holy Spirit is going to bring back to our remembrance a lot of things that we have been taught and exposed to, that we've gleaned and we've studied, and He's going to bring it to a place where it causes us to be victorious in standing and looking like Christ. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I thank everyone for joining us today. I pray that you will go online to the YouTube channel for Dr. David Jeremiah and listen to some of his teachings from this book. So he picks a chapter and he does a teaching on it. It's very powerful, very enlightening as you read your study guide and your book. So be blessed.
God bless.
Be blessed.
Amen. Bless. Thank you all Amen. For joining. See, we got Cleveland in the house. Praise the Lord.
All right, Cleveland.
Hey, Cleveland.
Yes.
Love
y'all.
Yes, yes. Love you all, too. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Hey.
Noah.